What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. NFL news breaking all over the place. We got Case Keenum being traded from the Denver Broncos to the Washington Redskins. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports' daily NFL podcast, Monday through Friday. Sometimes when they're big events, we change our plans. Like the Combine rolls up, we do 7 days a week. Draft, 7 days. Free agency, we'll probably do extra little pods if something crazy or big happens. And in fact, for this very podcast, we had recorded, myself, John Breach, and Ryan Wilson, recorded a whole thing. It's like 50 minutes long, Odell Beckham chatter, some other news, Josh Rosen rumors, some free agent preview stuff. And we're going to get to that. But because we care too much about this show to let you not get that Case Keenum news, John Breach is joining me now to break that down. What's up, buddy?
Man, Brinson, I feel like we should start the podcast with a moment of silence for Redskins fans. Just maybe
really?
Let them go take a shot of vodka or something, because this is just, they are on the train to nowhere with these quarterbacks.
See, I disagree. All right, and look, again, so John and I are going to yell about Case Keenum for like 10 minutes, and then we will throw it to the rest of the podcast. So it'll be some sort of weird noise that Debo, our producer, will pop in there. But I disagree. I like this move by the Redskins. I think this is a smart move for a team that, and look, I don't think you're wrong. The Redskins are in a bad spot with their quarterback position. Alex Smith, who they traded for and then gave a big contract extension to, probably might never play again. That contract was stupid. The trade was good. Getting Alex Smith was fine. The contract was idiotic. I don't mind this because, according to a report from Mike Kliss of Action News 9 in Denver, couldn't you see Kliss like doing some sort of Anchorman type of skit with like Action News 9? Part of the deal is that the Broncos are paying Case Keenum they rework his contract. The Broncos are giving him a $500,000 restructure bonus and will pay $3.5 million of his $7 million salary. So Washington is getting Case Keenum for a sixth in 2020. That's a throwaway. And then paying $3.5 million for Case Keenum. That's a great deal. Case Keenum.
Okay. So Prisco, this is because Prisco always says a guy is so bad, you can't even trade him away for a ham sandwich. And like the Broncos didn't even get a ham sandwich here. You know, this is,
they had to pay for a half eaten ham sandwich.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're getting. They are paying the Redskins to take Case Keenum. So I do agree in the sense that the Redskins aren't giving up a lot. So in that sense, if Case Keenum wins more games than they did last year, then it's a success. But, you know, the Broncos look dumb. The Redskins don't look great. But if somebody says, here's a starting quarterback for free, you can't turn the deal down.
Here's my thing too, is that the Redskins had Smith, who we don't expect to play, right? And then they had Colt McCoy, who's coming off a broken leg as well. Cause remember, they had to throw Josh Johnson in there. So they have Josh Johnson. And then they had a situation where they were probably going to either have to sign Nick Foles, sign Teddy Bridgewater, or trade for some veteran or use their first round pick on a quarterback and start that quarterback out of the gate. And to me, that is an absolute disaster waiting to happen. If you have to draft Daniel Jones 15th overall and throw him in the starting lineup, I think it's the worst thing you can do in that situation. So from that perspective, look, they might not end up starting Case Keenum. If they don't, it's a $3.5 million, you know, tire fire. That's fine. The Redskins are a $2 billion tire fire. Who cares? I mean, I just think it's a good, cheap insurance policy that gets them back to basically where they were with Alex Smith.
Yes, and I should be clear that I hate this trade for Redskins fans. This would not excite me at all. I would cancel my season tickets. I would not even watch their games next year. But I do like it from the point that the Redskins obviously had to bring in a quarterback. They're only paying him $3.5 million. He's obviously a stopgap. And as long as they don't go 2-14, you know, it's not a horror. The 2019 season is basically a throwaway. So it's just like, this is better than, say, trading draft picks for Josh Rosen. This is better than going out and signing one of those guys you mentioned, Nick Foles or Teddy Bridgewater, for $20 million a year where you're just wasting money. So this is maybe the best of a bunch of bad options.
Exactly. That's sort of my thing. It's like, if you're the Redskins, you know, next year you're screwed at quarterback no matter what you do. Like there's not a, okay, we can make something weird happen and fix this situation. You're putting a, Like what, you're like a band-aid on a bazooka wound is basically what you're doing. I don't know if that's a real phrase, John, but that's what they're doing. Like, you have an injured Alex Smith. You have a terrible crop of free agent quarterbacks. You have a worse crop of draft quarterbacks. You don't have any skill position guys because Jordan Reed is always hurt. Josh Doctson is okay. Jameson Crowder is leaving in free agency. You got Darius Geis coming back from an ACL, but your returning leading rusher who may not even be on your team is Adrian Peterson. You have a good offensive line, but it never stays healthy. You gotta just gotta slap something in there and hope that it works. And in worst case scenario, you fall in love with a quarterback in the draft class and you get him. Actually, worse, and then maybe the best case scenario is your team stinks and you get a top five pick. Because that's their problem, Breach, is that if they were a really bad football team last year, they'd be able to take Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins. They're not going to get that option. It's like Drew Lock or Daniel Jones. And I think if you end up in a situation where you have to take one of those guys and start in week one, that's where the worst case scenario really unfolds. To me, the bigger, not loser here, but John Elway. Like, he's paying $4 million for Case Keenum to go away after he's paid $30 million for 1 year of Case Keenum. And there's a good chance. I mean, I would say it's like 50-50 that the Redskins win more games than the Broncos next year.
Well, you know what the funny thing is? Like, can you imagine Case Keenum's agent on this phone call? Like, all right, I'll agree to your dumb trade, LA, but I want $500,000 extra thrown in for restructuring this contract. That's $500,000 for literally doing nothing. And the Broncos agreed to it because they wanted to get rid of him so badly. Like, that blows my mind that he was able to squeeze an extra $500,000 out of the Broncos. And then the other part of this is, and again, it goes back
to that's how much like each episode of this podcast costs to produce. I mean, it's insane.
I mean, I'm not cheap. You're not cheap. So exactly. It's understandable. Wilson does the podcast for like $10. So it's
right. Yeah.
It's not his fault.
No, I mean, you and I are what, 400, we're each like $299,995. And then Wilson is $10 for each episode. He doesn't know it. He'll be so pissed off when he finds out we're making, whatever that math was, the 249, I guess. The other thing I thought that was interesting that, Sean noted in his article about this on CBSSports.com, that it likely takes the Redskins out of the running for Josh Rosen. I would actually disagree a little bit. I think that they could still trade for Josh Rosen. What I think this does is, sorry, I was making sure we got a CBS Sports alert. I was making sure it was the, not the, something new on Case Keenum. It was just the report of it. But I think on this Rosen thing, it actually gives him a little bit of leverage because before there, the team is like, we're kind of screwed here. And Arizona might be able to say, listen, you want Rosen, first or second round pick. Now you can be like, look, we'll give you a third for him. That's all we're doing because we got Case Keenum and we know that doesn't sound like a good thing, but that's what we're riding with. What are our fans going to do? Get mad that we stink? We've stunk for 20 years. I mean, I just feel like the Redskins leverage themselves up a little bit. Like Nick Foles' agent can't play the Redskins against the Jaguars now. You know what I mean? Like they take themselves out of being leveraged heavily by getting Case Keenum, even if he's not the ultimate in solution.
Yeah, but if you're the Redskins front office, think about what you're trying to sell your fans right now. We were too cheap to keep Kirk Cousins. Oh, but we're going to trade for the guy who lost his job to Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. You know, like the Vikings clearly think that Kirk Cousins is better than Case Keenum. And now here the Redskins are in some sort of time is a flat circle, twist of fate, stuck with Case Keenum.
I was trying to do the merry-go-round. So Keenum left. Here's the crazy. Right, you're right. It is insane. So RG3 and Kirk Cousins were on the Redskins. RG3 is now on the Ravens. Joe Flacco was on the Ravens. He's now on the Broncos. Case Keenum was on the Vikings. He's now on the Redskins after being at the Broncos. Like, these three franchises just like swung quarterbacks around left and right in a game of musical chairs. There's some weird, you could do like some sort of weird diagram for it. I can't wrap my head around it entirely, but, certainly if you wanted to, you could piece that thing together. All right. Any other thoughts on this Case Keenum trade as we head into the weekend? It stinks that it sort of unfolded on Thursday night because that's the last shot we have to record this podcast. If something crazy happens, we'd probably record a Saturday show. But any other thoughts, Breach?
Here's my question to you, Brinson. Mm. In the NFC East, which includes oldly and crippled Eli Manning, just crippled Carson Wentz, and I'm about to get $30 million Prescott, where does Case Keenum rank in the quarterback tree?
That's a great question. It's a great question. I think the first quarterback I would take in that division is Carson Wentz. Then Dak Prescott. I might take Dak over Wentz. It's very close. Then I would take Case Keenum over Eli Manning. I would rather have, Case Keenum than Eli Manning. There I said it. I don't think it's crazy if the Redskins had a decent free agent period and a decent draft that they could win that division with Case Keenum. They almost won it with Alex Smith. I mean, the Cowboys could easily regress, especially if this DeMarcus Lawrence thing goes sideways. The Eagles don't have Nick Foles to bail them out in multiple games anymore if Carson Wentz isn't completely healthy. And the Giants appear to be organically tanking, whatever that phrase is. So I would, if the Redskins, I would bet if you were in Vegas and the odds are not up on division titles yet because we haven't seen free agency or the draft. But after the draft, I bet the Redskins will be about 15-1 to win the division. And I wouldn't mind taking a shot on that. Maybe I'm a sucker doing it a second year in a row, but I don't think the Redskins, I like this move because it basically gets them to where they were, add some playmakers, add some defensive guys. You got a shot here.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head. Look, with Alex Smith, they went 6-3. If Case Keenum plays like Minnesota Vikings Case Keenum and not Denver Broncos Case Keenum, then maybe they do have a shot. So I don't think you're, completely living by yourself in Crazyville by saying that. So yeah. I agree with you, Brinson, and we have a lot of free agency to get to, so we should stop dilly-dallying, right?
You're right. We should throw it to ourselves and Ryan Wilson to break down free agency and the rest of the news around the NFL. By the way, we're now on Spotify. You can go check us out on Spotify. Just search for Pick Six. Be careful. Apparently, two things that show up when you search for Pick Six are adult-themed podcast. So, but hey, maybe you want to get
it.
What
are the themes?
That's Ryan Wilson, John Breach, also here on this Friday show. Let me fire it up and see. Adam Azer, our podcast, consigliere. What do we call him? What's his title?
Overlord.
I wouldn't say overlord. Underlord?
I don't even think you need to tell us. I probably already subscribe to these channels, so let's move on. I don't want the people knowing what I subscribe to.
Okay. All right. I'll look it up and tell you in a second. Actually, you know what? I don't think I have Spotify on my new computer, so, I won't look it up, but just be careful when you look for Pick Six in Spotify, you can end up finding some adult themes. We'll have some adult themes on this show later. Oh yeah.
And I love Brinson is subtly throwing in the fact that he gets a new computer. As the host of the Pick Six podcast, he gets a new one every 3 weeks. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, I noticed that humble brag.
That's in his contract.
Okay. See, see, this is the Sexuality Show's podcast, True Life Relationships. Oh my God. This is extremely adult themed. You can learn, you know what? I'm not even, I can't say this. I guess it's technically the scientific term, but the episode 35 is entitled Mastering Oral Sex. So there you go. Can I say that?
Well, this is a fantastic tease because now everyone's going to go to Spotify to see what exactly you're talking about. They're like, well, while I'm here, I'll go ahead and subscribe to the Pick Six podcast.
Well,
really brilliant.
I guess what it is is sex and six are close enough that the algorithm is bringing that in. Like, I can't imagine why Pick Six would pop up there. But if you just look for Pick Six in Spotify, we are the first option there, the Pick Six NFL podcast. So jump on that if you do Spotify. I might switch over and start doing podcasts on Spotify. It seems like a fun way to consume an awesome medium. Anyway, let's get to Ryan, your little faces. Eventually this podcast will be on video and you'll be exposed as the sarcastic clown that you are, my friend. Guy, he keeps muting himself. It's just doesn't know what he's doing over here. You're still
in
muted.
Ryan's defense,
Ryan, you're still muted.
In Ryan's defense, he did drive 9.5 hours from Indianapolis to New York on Tuesday. I'm surprised he's even awake right now.
I love driving. No, it was fine. There's a bunch of issues. I had to beat a snowstorm back. I couldn't change my flight, which was not leaving Indy until like 7 o'clock at night. So, me and John and Dave,
who drove more around the combine? You or Breach? Cause Breach drove down to Indy, back to Nashville, back to Indy, back to Nashville, but you
drove more.
Indy to Syracuse.
Yeah, no, but Breach, what are you laughing at, Breach? You drove 16 hours.
18.
My bad. I drove 9. So which one?
This is 9 hours and 45 minutes. That would imply that you were speeding the whole time, Ryan.
Mitch also had to sit on a wooden box to drive, too. I didn't have to do that.
What?
Short joke.
Oh, okay. I was like, God.
By the way, I will say this quickly, and this is Breach's joke that I stole for HQ. On the last day, Monday, we were there with Dane doing videos all day. We both wore sweaters and ties. Mine was dark, his was light. And EK, Eric Casilius, when we did the hit line later, said we were a boy band. And this is the name that Breach came up for, so that I stole and used. Baldy and Shorty, which I actually sort of like.
B and S. I like that. I can get down with that. Speaking, you know who's not bald?
You.
I'm not bald. I got great hair. You know who else has great hair? Charlie Casserly.
Oh, boy.
That's a great segue.
Thank you. Charlie Casserly, I don't know if it's his actual hair. He does have great hair, though. And he's been in the news because Breach, as you wrote about on Wednesday, he came out and look, this is not going to be a Kyler Murray show. We're going to get to a free agency preview, but this is in the news. People, don't DM me complaining that we talk about Kyler Murray too much. It's freaking Kyler Murray season, SZN, as the kids say. At any rate, Charlie Casserly comes out with this report on NFL Network and says that he talked to personnel guys and that Kyler Murray has leadership. Bad. And I read the thing, I think. I read the thing while I was podcasting with Sean, and we tried to play a clip of it. We couldn't find it. At any rate, he bashes Kyler Murray. But then Breach, Kyler Murray's agent, Eric Burkhart, gives some comments to PFT, and my God, he burned him to the ground.
He took a blowtorch to Casserly's hair. He's not even have any hair after this because that is how ridiculous this was. I mean, here's the thing.
It's a fire retardant hair, John, but go ahead.
But it might be. It might be. But, you know, Brits, you said it. He said the leadership, not good. Study habits, not good. Board work, not good. Now, this was my first NFL combine. Charlie Casserly has been to way more than I have, but leadership doesn't feel like something you can measure during a 15-minute interview the NFL combine, you know? So, like, I get the other things, him at least saying that if he heard it, but the leadership thing didn't make sense. And Burkhart, man, if I was a college prospect looking for an agent, I am dialing Eric Burkhart's phone number because he went to bat for Kyler Murray. He just tore Charlie Casserly to shreds. I mean, my favorite part was that he pointed out the fact that Bill Belichick once made fun of Casserly. He pointed out the fact that Casserly was 18-46 as a general manager with the Texans. And he just kept pointing out that Casserly has basically spent his whole professional career as a general manager striking out, especially at the quarterback position. So, I mean, Burkhart did his homework before dropping this quote, and he left no stone unturned.
Here's the full quote, by the way. First and foremost, Kyler's a great person. First human ever drafted in the top 10 in two major sports leagues, and he means he will eventually be drafted, of course, in football. So what do I think about an agenda-driven analyst who's never even once talked to Kyler or any of his coaches or teammates? I think it's disgusting and embarrassing, and Casserly should be ashamed of himself. Further, my business partners and I personally represent coaches and executives who sat in on 8 of Kyler's 10 formal combine interviews. I spoke directly to each of them, as well as executives from the other two teams and many others who I don't represent but were present, and all of them were extremely positive about his entire interviews, with each citing specific examples as to why. And then he really uncorked. The bottom line here is that it calls into question the motives of a man to get on national television and cite anonymous sources on things such as leadership and study habits about somebody he's never met. Look, if you don't like Kyler's game, it's cool. If you don't like his size and want to talk about that, that's fine too. If you're into a Heath Shuler type looking guy, then hype those guys and say why. Casserly, of course, drafted Heath Shuler. But when you slander the character and work ethic of a young man who's worked his ass off his entire life and done everything right to put himself in his current position, you'd better cite your sources and come with a better record than 18-46 as a GM of the Texan, and whose own leadership and accountability has been questioned by his old bosses and colleagues, as well as the greatest coach on the planet. Boom.
You know who the real loser is here?
Everyone having to listen to me read that?
Heath Shuler. Guys, mind his own business. 20 years after he retires, he's like, wait a second, I'm going to name check it. It wasn't all entirely my fault. Then maybe we're number 21 or whatever at Tennessee.
How many times have I told the Heath Shuler McCauley story on this podcast?
I don't think I've heard it.
Oh, wow. So I'll tell it very quickly, then you can dive back in. Heath Shuler, I think he was maybe mid playing career. McCauley, the school I went to is in Tennessee. Everyone there is Tennessee Vols fans. He's truly a great Tennessee player. So they invited him to come speak at Chapel one day. And he goes up and he does an anagram for McCauley, like, men, courage, accountability. And he spelled McCauley wrong.
Well, that's can't why he it. Just got name checked by Eric Burkhardt.
That's right. So anyway, Ryan, as you were saying.
Oh, by the way, I talked to a former GM not named Charlie Casserly, and he was explaining to me how this interview process works at the combine. Basically, you have 10 minutes, 2 minutes meeting and greeting with everyone, shaking hands. And it's really hard to tell anything about a person, apparently, unless you're Ja'Kai Polite, who immediately rubbed everyone the wrong way. But if you love Kyler Murray or you love Heath Shuler or you love any other quarterback, you bring him in for a private workout, and then you kick the tires on him, up one side, down the other. And last week when we were in Indy with Brady Quinn, our guy for CBS, he was telling me the private workouts is where he found out everything about a quarterback, especially. So I understand, this is the time of the year where you smoke screen and all the other things you do that may or may not be true based on who's talking to you. But I think Eric Burkhardt is exactly right to support this guy, and it's sort of hard to fathom that we don't know that Kyler Murray can do board work well or not based on, screaming hair going off on NFL Network.
So that's the big news story. I like it. I think it's, again, you're right, Breach. If you're a potential prospect and you see that this guy's going to get your back no matter what, you were going to be interested in signing with him. And I think that is that's a big plus. The other big, I don't want to call it news because it's not news, but there is a serious percolating rumor right now about the Cleveland Browns and Odell Beckham. Multiple Browns players tweeted like mysterious things. Multiple Browns reporters tweeted serious things. It's legitimate buzz that the Browns are thinking about trading Kevin Zeitler? I never get this right.
Zeitler.
Kevin Zeitler and multiple picks to the Giants for the services of one Odell Beckham, which would be, on a scale, do you think I would be allowed to put shocking in the headline for this?
Yeah, of course. You could steal Breach's go-to. What's the other one he uses that he used in the Ram story?
Drastic.
Yes,
that's the one.
By the way, John, your name didn't get used, but your story got cited on Pardon the Interruption yesterday. Or Wednesday.
What?
Yeah. They're like, nice. CBS Sports reported stem cell stuff. I was hoping if they said John Breach, I would have recorded it. But that's like
before or after you threw your shoe at the television.
After. I was like, because they were talking about Todd Gurley. I rebounded. I was like, if they say Breach, I swear to God, I'll rip this television off. No, I would have been pumped for you.
Well, thanks for texting me and letting me know, Brinson, because I did have a few friends who did text me and let me know and say, hey, man, they're talking about your stem cell report. And so I ended up DVRing the late version. After they let me know, of which you are not one of the people that let me know.
But they didn't say John Breach. They just said CBS Sports.
Yeah, but that's still cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's not the same.
Hey, by the way, what are the Giants doing here if they're getting rid of Odell Beckham? What's the plan?
So
standing out there by himself?
I actually have a theory about this. It's they're trying to – they are taking their resources and they're funneling them towards – one thing, which is appealing to the generic Giants fan who loves Eli, doesn't like Odell, defends the Saquon pick, wants the team to suck the next year or maybe 2 years in order to get Tua or
who's that? It's like three people.
No, it's everybody. It's all these. They're like, Saquon was a great pick. He transformed the offense. You don't know what you're talking about. And they want Eli to ride it. They want Eli to ride it out, get one more year out of Eli, draft Tua or draft Trevor Lawrence a year after that. And so this is like organic. It's organic tanking.
And who's all in on Eli and who wants to go not only tank for 1 year, but possibly 2 years?
No. Everybody hates Eli, but they don't want to see Eli get cut. I'm telling you, this is like the prototypical Giants fan. This is what they're trying to do. Okay. They're trying to appeal to this fan by giving it one more shot with Eli, but not really with a fully loaded roster. And then if he sucks next year, you got an excuse to move on. You can draft a quarterback. You have Saquon. Maybe you draft somebody like Jawan Taylor in the first round of the 2019 NFL draft. So you got Taylor, Nate Solder, Kevin Zeitler, You got Will Hernandez. You got a rebuild offensive line who can rush, who can open up holes for Saquon. You draft a receiver with the Browns pick, that 17th overall pick. I'm telling you, I just think that's what they're going to try and do. And I think it would make.
That's idiotic.
I'm not saying it's smart. I'm just saying I think that's what we're going to do. And it would make the ownership groups happy because they're tired of Odell Beckham and his shenanigans.
John, what do you think about all this?
Well, here is the thing I think about this. Now, you guys know that I worked yesterday, March 6th, and if there was any way I could have turned Odell Beckham to the Browns into a story, I absolutely would have put something out there. And the thing was, you know, I did my deep search where you look at why did these rumors start? How did they get out there? Because it all started a span over, say, 24 hours, March 5th and March 6th, right? And the best I could tell was that someone tweeted Demaryius Randall and said, oh, the Browns got the best trade ever when they got Randall for DeShone Kizer. And then Randall called John Dorsey a genius, just kind of out of context. And so then other Browns players started to respond to that and saying, oh, yeah, it's amazing. Something big's going to happen. And then everything blew up from there. So does that mean a trade's going to happen? I don't know. But if the Browns do get Odell, sign me up for Browns Super Bowl in 2019.
The rumors were sort of floating around, and I was like, man, I should write something about this. It's not really enough. I was like trying to figure out how to like couch it into like an actual story. And then I like logged in, I like got into Slack at like 2:30 or like 1:30. I was like, saw like Breach pop in. I was like, I'm backing down. I'm going to see how he handles this. Cause if he can write a story about it, he absolutely will. And yeah, look, it's total conjecture. One thing I would say too is that if there is a legitimate chance of this happening, this leak is not coming from John Dorsey and the Cleveland Browns. Because John Dorsey kept the Baker Mayfield stuff on lockdown until the day of the draft. The morning of the 2018 NFL draft, Baker Mayfield was somewhere between 3-1 and 8-1 to be the first overall pick. You could still bet on it offshore, I believe. And
sorry.
Or you shouldn't bet.
I'm laughing. As you're talking, Brinson, I see Prisco tweeting, and he says, Can I say that I hate paper straws?
Yeah, it's like, I thought he got hacked or something. Like, Dave Richards stole his Twitter.
And someone says, yeah, it's like drinking through a rolled up newspaper. I mean, what are you doing, Pete?
Pete needs a new form of social media. Like, something he can spew his inane thoughts at. Like, I would kick there.
He needs Vine. Too bad Vine went away. That's perfect.
Maybe you get first go on the podcast tomorrow and talk about paper straws for a half hour. I'd listen to that.
Saturday.
What do you think he's doing right now that he's so angry at paper straws that he had to tweet about it?
By the way, I will say this too, like people
trying to drink a protein shake with a paper straw is what's happening.
People who are mad that maybe like the last couple of days of the podcast were a little bit not disjointed, but it felt like we were sort of repetitive, like talking with Brady Quinn about the stuff. We do the Friday, Saturday, Sunday show. Like you do the shows throughout the weekend. We did all the shows at the combine. And so it felt like we took a granular dive on each of the positions every day. And then I don't know. That's my takeaway was like when you do the show 7 days in a row, You sort of lose some of the rhythm that you might naturally have. So that's my excuse for that. But paper straws, you know what else sucks? Straws in general. Who uses straws? You're a grown ass man, Pete. Drink out of a cup, not a straw. My son drinks out of straws. He's 5.
The straws are the high chair of the drinking industry.
And Pete,
guys, I'm not going to lie. I'm a straw guy.
Wow.
100% I knew that.
My wife is a straw. Girls are straw girl. Like all girls drink out of straws, I guess. Breach, you strike me as a straw guy though, because you, like, I don't know if people know this. They probably don't. Why would they? But when you go to a bar, you pick out the biggest frou-frou drink on the planet. Prisco accused you of like running up a tab because you ordered this like pink martini. He's like, wow, this guy's really taking advantage. He's like, no, I just thought this sounded like a cool drink. So I ordered it.
Look, I don't have pink martini. The ingredients at home. I don't have blue curacao at home. I can't make a blue drink. If I'm going to get that at a bar, I'm going to get it at a bar.
Good for you.
With a straw.
That's a good point. Yeah.
With a straw.
Anybody can drink bourbon at home. It's not hard to do that.
Exactly.
By the way, this whole Giants thing sounds ridiculous. I mean, you're an idiot if you're trading Odell Beckham and having no idea what your plan B is.
Let's put a percentage on it.
3.
I'm going to say 17 and a half.
Wait, is that to the Browns or just Odell just traded overall?
Just traded. Because I think
trade overall. I'll go up to 25.
Okay. Yeah. I just think that – I think, look, if you – okay, we're not – nobody's trying to say that this would be smart, right?
What it is for the Browns, not for the Giants.
Yeah, hell yeah. It's great for the – dude, the Giants will be annihilated for this trade if they don't – if they get Kevin Zeitler or – and, like, if it's a – if it's a Kevin –
You just said their fan base would love it.
They will be annihilated by, like, the media. If they trade
– yeah, but you made a good point about how it would be good for the Giants in the long run, even if they'll get annihilated in the short
term.
Well,
so – but, like, think about it like this. If you – you know that you're stuck with Alec Ogletree on his contract, at least for this year. You know – you let Landon Collins walk, right? And you're in this position where you've signed, like, you just, your roster's bad. You're not really competing. They can get out. They could actually get out of, they could get out of Ogletree's contract right now, but next year they save $8 million in cap space. I just think they are setting themselves up to, like, try hard, but also be bad, and then replace Eli in a better quarterback draft while accumulating as much talent as possible and seeing if it works out. And I mean, who the hell knows if it will, right? I mean,
it could. It won't.
No, it probably won't. Dude, it's entirely possible that Dave Gettleman doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, I was getting blasted by my friends for having defended Dave Gettleman when he was in Carolina, just last night. They were like, you missed, you whiffed on that, bro. I was like, I don't know if I whiffed on it, but. Also in trade rumors, Josh Rosen. See, we can't help it.
Let me float this one at you. This is a crazy one. I was, at my old man soccer league last night, and one of the guys he's a Steelers fan, said to me, what do you think about the Steelers trading for Josh Rosen?
It's a great idea.
It's a terrible idea.
What? Why?
They just drafted Mason Rudolph in the third round.
Why don't you just trade Antonio Brown straight up for Josh Rosen?
That's what he said. And I said, that's stupid.
A great idea.
Why? You have Mason Rudolph.
Who thinks Mason Rudolph is good, aside from Chris Trapasso, who I love, but had him as his number one quarterback?
The point is that you don't – how many backup quarterbacks you need on a team, and this Roethlisberger, out of spite, won't quit for five more years.
Trade for Josh Rosen and cut Mason Rudolph. You get a fifth-year option with Josh Rosen. You don't for Mason Rudolph.
You're trading
Antonio Brown anyway. There's no money left on Josh Rosen's deal. We need to hire this guy from your soccer league to work for us.
I'll tell him
he
that.
He can be our draft expert.
Does he do podcasts?
Yeah. He will if I tell him that someone agrees with this idiotic idea besides him.
I think it's a great – okay, what would you rather have, a third-round pick from the Raiders or Josh Rosen?
I would take Josh Rosen if you could flip him somewhere else, but I don't know if they can do that.
Put him in your system for a year, build him up, let him sit behind Ben, and then flip
him
next year.
You're not worried about wasting that third-round pick on Mason Rudolph, which Roethlisberger predicted last year. He goes, why are we drafting this guy?
Well, it's because you keep waffling between retirement, Ben.
No, I understand that. But his point was that if assuming I'm going to stay, why don't you get someone that can help me immediately?
I asked this to Sean Wagner-McGuff yesterday. Are the Browns the clear favorites in AFC North at this point?
Yeah, we've been saying that for weeks.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you agree with that, Breach?
As much as I hate to admit it, and I really, really hate to admit it, yes.
Because the Ravens might be terrible this year.
The Bengals might be terrible. I mean,
the Bengals are definitely
could win this division by four games.
Yeah. I think I'm going to tell everybody this right now. Listeners, if you find it in, if you were
your
able,
heart.
What? In your heart. No, if you find it with your guy, your local guy, or you shouldn't be betting offshore with local guys. You should only be betting legally. If you were able, however, to bet at any point on division odds, I think this is the play, and you see the Browns as favorites and the Steelers not as favorites, bet the Steelers. Like, if you can get the Steelers at +130 to win that division, I mean, the Browns, the expectations are too high on the Browns right now. I just could see something going, like, a little bit sideways.
I could see that, or some crappy injury that doesn't help them out, but on paper, they look pretty good, especially how they finished the season. Freddie Kitchens, no Hugh Jackson, Baker Mayfield, and all those.
But also, it's not even that their expectations are high. It's that the rest of the division's regressed. So it's been like a combo of the Browns took a baby step forward. Everyone took five steps backward. And so now that's where we are.
I also think, and I don't even know if this is a bold prediction, Juju Smith-Schuster, oh, my God, you guys just drank. Took sips of your drinks at the same time. You guys are like NBA NBA teams.
Sitting next to each other. You didn't know that.
We hung out for 8 days.
That's true. You guys are best friends now. You should get your own podcast.
We're hand twins.
Hand twins?
Oh, you didn't see that?
Oh, my God. You guys are creeps. I'm going to say that Juju Smith-Schuster will have a better year than Antonio Brown next year, and that James Conner will have a better year than Le'Veon Bell next year.
That one's good. The first one, I'd be careful. We don't know what Juju Smith-Schuster is going to do without Antonio Brown.
No, that's true, but we don't know where Antonio Brown's going and who's going to be throwing him the football.
Yeah, I hope it's actually, who do I want throwing the football? Blake Bortles, wherever he ends up.
That's you wanted to be Josh Allen.
He'd hate that. He'd hate
exactly.
Buffalo.
Exactly. That's why you sit into Buffalo. You call the Bills and say, look, we're not getting crap for Brown, okay? This is going poorly. Give us your third-round pick. We'll give you Antonio Brown.
I don't know if Brandon Bean would do that.
Probably not. Maybe fourth round?
Oh, my God. I mean, come on. We can't just give him away.
Got to get something. We. So the Josh Rosen stuff. I like the Steelers idea. The latest rumors that the Cardinals, quote, have not shopped him.
So, let me ask this before we get too far.
Yeah.
I'll ask both of you. Are they trading Josh Rosen?
Yes.
No.
I just don't know what's going on with all this Kyler Murray talk.
All right, here's my theory, and here's where I am on this, because 4.5 hours to think about it from Indy to Nashville after we had talked about it all weekend. So here is my thing, is that Steve Keim is still the general manager. He picked Josh Rosen. Not only did he pick Josh Rosen last year, but he traded up to get him. So obviously Steve Keim likes him, and it's going to take a lot to get your front office, your general manager, to get rid of the quarterback they were sold on the year before. Now, not only that, but you have Cliff Kingsbury, who had a losing record in college, got fired by his alma mater. That guy has to come in and convince Steve Keim that, hey, not only is my offense going to work in the NFL, but it can only work with Kyler Murray. So you have to talk Keim out of Josh Rosen and into Kyler Murray after they just drafted a first-round quarterback last year. I think unless somebody offers a first-round pick, like if I'm the Cardinals, I just don't think they're going to make the trade. I think they're happier than they're letting on with Rosen. I think if somebody blows him away, they'll make a deal and have Kyler Murray as that fallback. But I would be surprised if Kyler gets traded or Josh Rosen gets traded.
All right. Let's do some free agency talk. And we will dive in we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll do some free agency talk.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to look at the various free agency positions. Free agency doesn't open until the 13th. It's hard to believe the new league year is already around the corner, but the legal tampering period is from March 11th through the 13th, and basically the legal tampering period opens at the combine when agents and coaches and players and everybody there is there. Starting with the quarterbacks, I'll ask you first, John Breach, Where does Nick Foles sign? Because the Eagles decided not to tag him. He's a pure free agent. Where does he sign, and how many games does that team win?
I think I agree with whoever, Philly.com or whoever put out that report that he's going to go to Jacksonville.
Les
that
Bowen.
Sounds like 100% lock, because the thing is, if they had tagged him, that throws a wrench in things, because Jacksonville is just salary cap hell. It's a total nightmare. I don't know if they could have squeezed $25.5 million on a one-year deal into their salary cap, but you know, now that they can sign him in free agency, they can kind of push down the road. It becomes a lot more possible. So I think he goes to Jacksonville, and I think the Jags win 8 games.
How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, Jacksonville seems to be the primary landing spot. I don't know what they're going to pay this guy, and they'll probably keep them from drafting a quarterback, which seems insane to me. Maybe they're having on the same conference call with the Giants. And I think Breach and I were talking about this last week. I think Nick Foles is worth about 1.5 more wins than Blake Bortles. That's worth $15 to $20 million. Knock yourself out. But I don't know how this solves any problem, short-term or long-term. I mean, what if you play 6 games, and then what? Then where are you at?
Trade for Josh Rosen.
What about Teddy Bridgewater? Where does Teddy Bridgewater go in free agency? Because he's the other big name. I mean, he's the only other name. We were reading your free agent quarterback previews, Ryan, and it was like, not everyone's going to be a Super Bowl champion. Like on like the third guy who's just destroying this group.
Oh, right. Yeah. I think last year, Teddy Bridgewater was in the conversation with Jacksonville, and they re-signed Blake Bortles, which actually
Conversations, apparently Jacksonville hates Teddy Bridgewater, which good for you. You don't like Teddy Bridgewater. You like Blake Bortles, Jacksonville. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and take crap from Prisco and Jaguars fans and Dave Caldwell staring me down at the combine because I said the Jaguars should trade for Teddy Bridgewater. It's not my fault. You drafted Blake Bortles. Leave me alone.
There's also some talk that the Saints might want to keep him, which I actually sort of like. I mean, he gave a third round pick for him last year for a 1 year deal.
If I'm Teddy, I would stay in New Orleans.
Absolutely. You can share time with Taysom Hill. You don't take, you know, no wear and tear in your body whenever you get that job. Even if you sign a 4-year deal, who cares, man? You're just hanging out waiting for Drew Brees.
And if Brees retires, then you all of a sudden open yourself up for a big landing spot. We mentioned Antonio Brown. We didn't mention Le'Veon Bell, though. I wrote a best landing spots for Le'Veon Bell story that came out on Thursday. It is an excellent story. I got to say, I put hours of research into it. Talk to people around the league, et cetera, et cetera. No, I'm just kidding. I just guessed his best 5 spots. I did, you know, you do hear chatter, but, I would say.
I appreciate your honesty. Nah, I just guessed.
Well, I mean, I just think there's some obvious teams, and I don't think anybody knows how this market's going to shape out for Le'Veon Bell. We haven't seen a running back like him hit free agency in the modern era where he is a valuable, worthwhile investment, in my opinion, but he is a running back. You're going to have to pay him a ton of money. You need a bunch of cap space. You have to have an opening on the depth chart. You have to be a little bit desperate to win right now. And, you know, you probably have to have a young quarterback who needs a little bit of an outlet weapon. That's why
Let me and Breach guess the top places. Breach, you go first.
You guys didn't do the rundown.
My guess would be the Raiders.
The Raiders are on the – all right, let's do it Family Feud style. Breach is up first. Ding! You got it. That's
all right,
one.
I'm going to the Jets.
Okay, well, technically, Breach is supposed to keep going until he misses, but that's fine.
Oh, you only hit 5. Right?
Yeah, right? That's how Family Feud works, man. Have you never watched – you've never watched Family Feud, have you?
Of course I have, with Richard Dawson. You don't remember Richard Dawson.
A little tiny microphone, that's why I did that. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Ray Combs,
yeah.
That's who I remember.
That's how
rest in peace, Ray Combs.
That's how you try to figure – that's how you determine how old somebody is, if they know Family Feud by Richard Dawson or Ray Combs.
Forget millennial generation. That's a great way to do it.
Who do you have next, Breach? Jets and Raiders are both correct.
49ers.
That's correct. That's 3. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Breach gets to keep going.
I'm dominating you.
All right, Breach. My turn is going to go all Breach.
Breach gets to go. If he gets the next 2 correct, then he wins.
All right.
Yeah, I don't have any more guesses.
There's only 29 other teams.
Well, who else has a lot? The Colts.
All right, Ryan, you're up.
Yeah, they're not using money on that.
You guys won't get one of mine.
But it's a Brinson list. He always likes to go a little crazy.
Ryan definitely cues.
But here it is. The Patriots.
That's a good guess. I like the Patriots. The final 2 answers are the Buccaneers, who don't have a ton of cap space, but they really need a running back help. David Johnson was fantastic in Bruce Arians' system. I think Le'Veon Bell would be great in that same sort of role
as a
pass-catching running back. Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber on the depth chart. They need somebody to help out Jameson's Jameis Winston's short yardage completion. It's in Florida, so you don't have to deal with state income tax. They don't have a ton of cap space, but they could cut Gerald McCoy, JPP, and potentially even one more.
Already cut Vinnie Curry.
Yeah, they cut Vinnie Curry, but there's somebody else they could cut. Oh, DeSean Jackson would save him $10 million. No dead cap space for any of those three guys. And then the final landing spot, Baltimore. Spite play by Ravens. I like,
I like the
idea that they've seen Le'Veon Bell. They need help in the running game. And I think Le'Veon would actually be a really good, like, Lamar Jackson wildcat weapon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but here's the thing. John Harbaugh said last week or the week before that Gus Edwards is their guy. He makes $45 an hour. Do you want to pay somebody $15 million a year?
No, absolutely not. The Ravens are in a weird spot, though, man. I'm telling you, their roster is very bizarre. All right, moving along.
What's the over-under on Le'Veon's salary, annual salary?
12.
That would be hilarious.
If he makes 12 a year, that's a loss for him. He should have taken that franchise.
Well, absolutely.
Tag.
I mean, how much do you think he's going to get per year average, Brenton?
I'll say 14. With the
that's
first.
Still less than what the Steelers offered twice.
With the first 3 years guaranteed.
I think he's going to get 12.
The best part about this is, though, he loses money on the back end, but he had a whole year of water skiing, so that's the upside.
Yeah, that's true. It was a lot of fun. He stayed healthy for a little bit longer. Wide receiver position, really crappy wide receiver group in free agency. No offense to these guys, but it's just not good. Golden Tate signs with blank, John.
I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Golly, that's my answer.
That's just a perfect fit. Like, everything about it is perfect fit. Golden Tate even said he wants to play for the Patriots, so all they have to do is, if they make them anything resembling a respectable offer, which isn't a guarantee, the Patriots, and they lowball everyone, but anything respectable, probably not even Golden Tate's asking price, I think he'd say yes and he'll sign. So, seems like a lot, right?
My answer that Breach stole, I'll go with this one, the Colts.
Huh. I actually like the Colts. I think it'd be a good fit with T.Y. Hilton. I'll tell you this, the wide receiver that no one's talking about, that people should be talking about, Jamison Crowder from the Redskins. I feel like he is going to be a value signing. I could see him going to the Patriots, actually, because, you know, even though he's a little...
He's better than Philip Dorsett.
He's more similar to Julian Edelman, if anything, but secretly, I think the Redskins training staff is really bad, and that's why everybody's always hurt.
The training staff. The whole organization is having issues.
What's like, how many years in a row can you lead the league in adjusted games lost to injury?
I don't know. Where are they at?
Two. That doesn't work. That's not how it works in the NFL. And I will say that, Ryan, question for you as the draft analyst on this podcast. Since this class is bad, do you think it leads up to more guys being drafted in the first round? And would you take the over or under on 2.5 wide receivers being taken in the first round?
I like the over, I think. That's exactly where you want it, 2.5.
I think I saw that somewhere, maybe. I don't remember.
If I'm the Bills at number 9, I'm taking DK Metcalf. Problem solved. I mean, you need DK.
Well, Metcalf is going in the first round. So the question is, are two more guys creeping in?
I think Paris Campbell catapulted himself to the first round with that 4.31. Wow. 40. Had a great season. He doesn't run deep routes, but he runs underneath stuff. He makes a lot of sense for Oakland, maybe at their 27th pick. And then there's Hollywood Brown. We have to see if he's healthy. There's Kelvin Harmon, your guy who I like, but ran a 4.6. Riley Ridley needs to have a much better pro day than he did at the combine, because here's the great thing about Riley Ridley. Is the way he played, he's a great route runner, didn't catch a lot of balls, but he ran a 4.58. But when you look at his mock draftable, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington.
That's a good comp. You like seeing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's no guy, Akeem Butler, who's 6'5 and change, ran a 4.4, something insane. So, yeah, I think three guys can go. But Terrell Williams is a guy, the Chargers, who's maybe the most popular wide receiver free agent. I know the Raiders are interested in him. They're also interested in Antonio Brown. But even the Raiders are like, you know what, Antonio's kind of crazy. Maybe we should look elsewhere, and I think Terrell Williams could be that guy.
No worries. Let's see. Tight end. Jared Cook, a legitimate – I just read a text that said, no worries. Sorry, I don't know why I read that.
And I said, what are you talking about? No worries. Why aren't the Raiders re-signing Jared Cook? Do we know?
We don't know.
Why did they trade Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper?
And cut Bruce Irvin.
I've got a lot of questions if we're going to start talking about questions about the Raiders.
Why do the Carr brothers all block Brenton on Twitter?
Because they hate me. Because I rip them constantly. And they're soft as butter.
I mean, look, Jared Cook is 31. He's old, so maybe he wants too much money, so maybe the Raiders just don't want to pay an old tight end.
Antonio Brown's 31 by the time he gets to Oakland.
Yeah, Jerry Cook will be 32 by the time the season starts. So maybe they're just saying, you know what, we're going to go younger, and we're not going to keep this guy who's going to be 32, and we're not going to give him millions of dollars.
I could
but that
also,
is the best tight end, right? In the tight end class? It's a horrible tight end class.
Tyler
Eifert's right in there.
Not the draft class, the free agent class.
The free agent class is not great. If I'm the Raiders, I would much rather draft Noah Fant or TJ Hockenson at 24 if one of them is there.
Hockenson probably won't be there. Fant might be.
Yeah.
But you got to draft defensive guys too, so you can't take a wide receiver and a tight end and as Breach pointed out, replace Khalil Mack if you don't draft a defensive end.
Yeah, the problem for the Raiders is that at 4, 24, and 27 are great picks in this draft, but if you want one of those tight ends or one
you
of those.
You get Irv Smith maybe at 35.
Yeah.
Because they have that pick too.
I can see Irv Smith going in the first round too.
He could.
All right. I don't think they pay Jared Cook a ton of money, but I think Jared Cook gets pretty good money in free agency because the class is not great. But the Packers wish they'd held on to him. Would you gamble on Tyler Eifert?
That's a question for Breach.
I mean, what kind of gamble are we talking here? Because, I mean, like, look, here's the thing is he's injured every year, but the one year he was super healthy, 2015, Dalton's pseudo-MVP year, he had 13 touchdown catches, which was a huge number. So I think if you gamble on him, you have to be very creative with his contract. Be like, look, Tyler, we'll give you a $2 million base salary, and then we're going to pay you with roster bonuses based on how many games you play. And also maybe how many touchdowns he scores. Just it's going to have to be incentive because the guy is just – I mean, his back, his legs, nothing on him is healthy.
Yeah.
His neck and his back. You get that?
Yeah, Ryan.
Wilson, are you talking – are you on Spotify again looking up Pick Six podcast? Is that
– that's a Friday.
Did you
here?
See
– That's a line for Friday.
I think – I don't think it is.
Of course it is.
It was something else before it was the line from Friday.
My neck, my back?
Yeah, what follows after that? Oh, you're thinking my neck, my back. No.
Neck and my back. Yeah.
No, but you know what?
In the convenience store.
Ryan, you're in over your head here, pal.
My
neck, my back, my. In fact,
I don't know that.
Khloe Kardashian, I think, tweeted out something related to that.
Yeah, well, Friday came out in 1995. My quote precedes whatever Kardashian. Oh, here's what I wanted to ask before you guys put your minds in the gutter.
But also, you get off the podcast, just Google Kia and her song, and you'll get to the bottom of this.
Is that how early? 2002 was
Kia's
song. Yeah,
see, 1995 was Friday, so I win.
Was Friday 95?
Of course it was, and I will accept your apologies without you saying it.
All right, Ryan, you're correct. All right, that's fair enough.
Thank you.
Good job, Ray Combs. moving along.
Ray Combs out here. Look, let me ask Bruce this question. Tyler Eifert, would you, Breach, who seems to hate Andy Dalton for reasons that I can't explain, give up a third-round pick for Josh Rosen to the Bengals?
Okay, I am pro Andy Dalton. I am Andy Dalton's number one fan.
You just said pseudo-MVP year, which is disrespectful to Andy Dalton and gingers everywhere.
Who won the MVP in 2015?
No idea.
No, I was saying Andy Dalton was a pseudo-MVP of the NFL. Where he should have won it, except he got hurt trying to chase down your boy.
Stafford.
Okay, but anyway, if you're the Bengals, you trade a third round pick for Josh Rosen. I think the answer to that question is yes.
Cam Newton MVP in 2015, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe shouldn't have won it. But yeah, so 2000 third round pick. So you know what you do because it's so cheap, and also Dalton has a cheap contract, and you could afford to have both. And if Rosen outplays Dalton, boom, you have a new starting quarterback. If you don't, then you have trade bait to use down the road because you have Rosen under contract for 3 more years. So I don't hate the idea.
Didn't the Bengals make the 2015 is the year where they had the meltdown against the Steelers,
where John was
right?
Crying in the hotel room watching the game because
AJ McCarron was the quarterback in that game, though. It wasn't. I thought the Bengals were going to lose by 3 touchdowns because McCarron was quarterback.
Andy Dalton had a really good year that season.
Great year that year.
25-7. 3,250 passing yards in just 13 games, 8.4 yards. Yeah, it was the best season of his career. Like, he's been great when Tyler Eifert's been healthy and bad when – that's why the Bengals should draft a freaking tight end. Draft Fant or Hockenson and see what you can get out of Andy Dalton.
If they're at 11, they better take Devin White. That's all I'm saying.
They have a few holes.
I would agree with that. That's not a terrible pick. moving along to the offensive lineman, Trent Brown. What do you think about Trent Brown? Excited? I think this is the fascinating thing about this offensive line class is Trent Brown, who was traded for nothing to the Patriots by the 49ers, Juwan James, who's a former second round pick, Darrell Williams, sort of out of nowhere for the Panthers, became an all pro at right tackle, and then Mitch Morse, who may or may not be a real football player that plays interior offensive line. Those guys are all going to get crazy paid. Donovan Smith, instead of getting franchise tagged by the Bucs, got a 3-year, $41.25 million contract from Tampa Bay. People don't necessarily think that Donovan Smith is great, and yet he got a ton of money. And offensive line is tough to teach in the modern NFL, so these guys are going to make massive contracts from the teams when they hit free agency. Would you want to pay any of these guys, Breach?
Yeah, I'm going to pay Trent Brown after, you know, we didn't know how good he was going to be in New England. He ends up starting every single game. And, you know, how many times did Tom Brady take a hard hit because it was Trent Brown's, it just didn't really happen, which was, you know, nobody knew what to expect from him. And if I'm Trent Brown, I am taking the most money. And the thing was, he did an interview earlier in the offseason, and they were like, hey, I think it's on Schefter's podcast. And they said, hey, are you going to go back to New England? And he was like, you know, we'll cross that bridge. We come to it. And listening to it, it basically sounded like him saying, I'm going to take as much money as possible. That's probably not going to for the Patriots, so probably going to be leaving New England. But if I was a team, I'd definitely pay for Trent Brown. I don't know if I'd pay for anybody else in this class.
I don't think I'd want to pay for Trent. I mean, like, I don't think I'd want to pay for Trent Brown, but I would probably be fine if my team gave him a decent contract. I don't know if we lost Ryan. Can you see Ryan?
Sorry, I hit the wrong button. I hit the mute button.
Oh, no, you're fine. Like, all of a sudden you disappeared, and, like, I could tell that Breach and I both didn't know if you were here or not.
Oh, yeah, I hit the mute button, and I hit the – my fat finger also hit the mute button, too.
You got old fat fingers. I don't blame you. All right. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to pay for these guys, but I think they will get paid. Darrell Williams, again, has an all-pro season. That'll get you paid. And there are teams like the Bills and the Giants who have four –
The Giants and the Bills and the Cardinals should sign every one of these players and just pray that one of them works out.
Sure, that's not bad. But the Giants and the Bills have former Panthers front office guys who helped draft Darrell Williams. So I would get – look, Starlet Tutuule got paid when he went up there. Kelvin Benjamin, they traded a third-round pick for him. I mean, like Brandon Bean and Dave Gettleman will pay for these ex-players that they got in Carolina. I would expect Darrell Williams has a robust market. On the defensive side of things, we're going to lump together the edge and the defensive line because it's, I don't think there's a ton of great, I mean, there's good value and stuff, but I think the biggest storyline is where does Ndamukong Suh sign? Where could you see Ryan Ndamukong Suh landing in the offseason? One team that's been bandied about, our own Cody Benjamin included him in the landing spots, the Seattle Seahawks could be interesting.
Oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. The Patriots are always the first team you come up with just because they'd sign every player that's over the age of 30 and has been up and down in his career prior to that. Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks would actually be interesting. But here's the thing about Ndamukong Suh. And we saw this actually in L.A. He was there. He showed up. He sort of went through the motions until the playoffs. How do we know he's going to be willing to play? He didn't play in Miami where he made a ton of money. He played in Detroit for a little bit, showed up every other week in Los Angeles until January and February. What makes you think he's going to show up anywhere except for New England where they'll cut him in week four if he doesn't?
Well, that's going to be his agent's pitch. He's going to walk into the front office of some team. Look, my client doesn't have a lot of wear and tear because he takes half the season off. So right. He's got fresh legs. He's ready to play, and he knows this could be his last season, last couple seasons coming up. So we think he'll give 100% every game. We can't promise that because he's never done it in his life. But maybe he will. So, yeah, I think the Seahawks are good. Talking about Cody's article, I like the Cleveland Browns. Look, they have a ton of money, put a monster on that defensive line, and all of a sudden that defense is already good. And, you know, is even though Sud does take his off, he does make – I think he would make any defense he joins better.
By the way, adding Ndamukong Suh, Odell Beckham to that Browns team, that's the quickest way to take them back to fourth place.
It really is. It really is. Everyone will pick them to win. Everyone will pick them to win. They will be like a trendy Super Bowl team if they add Ndamukong Suh and Odell Beckham. I'm serious.
And they'll win four games.
How many people in the media do you think will pick the Browns to win the Super Bowl this year? It'll be some.
Yeah, you're looking at the few. I mean.
Us?
I'm going to pick them to make the playoffs. I'm going to pick them to win the division. Yeah. I'll see how far down that road I get.
You're not picking them to win the division?
I am, and to go to the playoffs.
Right now, if I had to do preseason predictions, I would pick them to win, to make the playoffs and win the division. I'm with you.
Yeah. We'll see how far beyond that I'm willing to go. But you know.
Yeah, with the way the talent is now, I couldn't see him being the Chiefs or Patriots in the playoffs. But, you know, like Wilson just said, further down the road. Let's kick that can down the road.
I don't know if we have enough time to analyze the 2019 NFL season between now and the start of the season, guys. We should definitely do it today. Without knowing where anybody goes in the draft or free agency.
Right.
What about CJ Mosley, Ryan? I mentioned on the rundown, could he be a candidate to sign with the Steelers? Because this is a guy.
I don't think so.
He's a tackling machine. He'd be a good fit.
Yeah,
they need him.
He can't play in passing downs. Nope. Last year, I thought Avery Williamson was the best linebacker in free agency, and he signed for a lot of money with the Jets. I think he had a pretty good year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's, and by the way, if the Ravens don't want you, it probably means you're sort of past your prime. How often do Ravens defenders go somewhere else and light the world on fire?
That's a good Never. Point. That's a good point.
So I don't know where he's going to end up, and it's not going to be for as much money as he probably is hoping for.
I would, the problem, well, I guess you don't have to negotiate against the tag if you're talking to CJ Mosley now because, you know, he didn't get tagged. The $15 million, I think the Ravens would have kept him if he didn't have that $15 million guaranteed tag thing hanging over their heads. And so now they'll try and bring him back. Maybe he comes back because he works in their offense and, you know, they sign Honey Badger and we look back and the Ravens are good again on defense.
By the way, quickly, sorry to interrupt you. If I were the Steelers, I'd rather have Eric Weddle, who's 34. But our buddy Andy Benoit at SI.com said he spoke to almost
two dozen
NFL coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And to a person, they said that Eric Weddle was the glue that held that defense together and made them as good as they were. So that's a problem for the Ravens that he's no longer there. They cut him.
Old horse glue.
So wherever he ends up, immediately give that defense a few extra points on defense.
I'm with you. I think that there's something to be said for adding even if he's not super – like, would you rather – if you're the Steelers and you need to improve – the sound quality of your defense, like, do you want to add some fast young player obviously you'd rather have the young talent, but like, if you just add
some. Well, they just added him last year in the draft and people were super angry about Carroll Edwards.
But you throw Eric Weddle in there and all of a sudden he can help the younger players get better. He's not going to make mistakes in the back end. And I mean, maybe he's a little bit slower. I think everybody saw that, but I'm with that. I don't like that. I don't hate that.
And how dumb are the Ravens going to look up? Goes to the Steelers and Mosley goes to the Bengals, and then both those defenses just skyrocket up, and the Ravens have the worst defense in the division. That's fireable offense for John Harbaugh, right?
I can see the Ravens having the worst team in that division.
Yeah, you're smoking something.
If maybe Zach Robinson was who did they sign? Who did they hire? Who's the Bengals coach?
Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach.
Who's Zach Robinson?
Zach Robinson left PFF to go be Sean McVay's quarterback coach, so he'll get a job as a head coach next year.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
he's a PFF guy. Wow, that's impressive. Good job.
Yeah, so go work for PFF. That's like Sean McVay is only interviewing PFF guys. That's how hot PFF is. Is that like
right? Sean they're McVay's. The Sean McVay's of the analytics football world.
Yeah, they're the Sean McVay's of football nerds. All right, last group. Oh man, the cornerbacks and the safeties. The safeties. Actually, we're going to split these up. We'll do cornerbacks very quickly because
it'll take an hour to talk about safeties.
The safeties class is incredible. To me, this cornerback class is really defined by two things. One, the presence of a lot of big names, actually three things. One, the presence of a lot of big names in terms of former first round picks. Kevin Johnson is out there. Mo Claiborne is out there. He's still only 29 somehow. Kareem Jackson, 31, is out there. Darquez Dennard, a former first round pick. Bradley Roby, a former first round pick. Jason Verrett, a former first round pick. There's a lot of talented names out there. Young, they didn't work out. Eric Rowe is out there. More importantly, I think you have some nickel guys in Darquez Dennard and Bryce Callahan from the Bears, who was very good for the Bears last year, that are really worth signing considering how often teams operate in the nickel. And if you can get those guys on like a decently cheap deal, that's going to be you're going to end up improving your defense a significant amount. And then the third thing is that to me, there are a couple guys out here, Ronald Darby, who's only 25, and Jason Verrett, Verrett's just 27, who've had injury histories. I would take a cheap gamble on either one of those guys and hope that you get 16 games from them, because if you do, it's an all-pro situation.
Yeah, and Darby's coming off an ACL. Verrett, I don't think he's played a full season.
But I mentioned the Redskins training staff. I think the Chargers training staff is terrible too. There's something to that. Every year they're beset by injuries. Like
he's little though. That's the other issue. It's not like he's a big hulky.
But he can play outside and inside.
I mean, for the right price, sure. Why not? See what happens.
I think it's a 1 year, $7 million contract. How about that?
That's what he gave Honey Badger. That's a lot.
1 year, $5 million?
I'd do that, but he wouldn't.
I think he would. He might have to. I mean, look, his injuries were a problem for him coming out of college at TCU, so he might just have to deal with it. And again, a lot of first-round names out there. Big names, but not as big as the safety market, John.
I want to see Brent Grimes sign with the Patriots because his wife gives all the inside info from the locker room. Imagine that. That's my dream signing.
That would be for this off-season. Signing. Miko. Is it Miko or Mika? Miko.
I think it's Miko.
Miko. She scares the crap out of me. Like,